If you will, please turn to Luke chapter 12, and we'll take our message from there tonight, or kind of read some scripture and kind of use it as a springboard into the message tonight about how to outlive your life, how to outlive your life, how to invest in eternity. Luke chapter 12, we'll read a very familiar story there that Jesus tells, and I want you to understand it tonight and what it means to you and me tonight. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin reading there in verse 15, and it says, "Then he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And so then Jesus goes on to tell a parable. He's talking here to the folks, and people are asking him questions, and the guy's wanting his inheritance, and he's wanting more money, and my brother's not being fair to me. He's not giving me what I owe or what he owes me. And Jesus said, "Now, wait a minute." He said, "Your life doesn't consist of the possessions that you have. Your life is not made up of the things that you have." And Jesus then begins to tell the story or a parable to illustrate that point of how our life is more than just the things on this earth and how we ought to invest in eternity. Verse 16 it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. You're like the fool, the rich man. Thought he had it all. Thought he had enough. Said these, when you lay up for yourself, and you lay up only treasures for yourself, he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God. Dear Heavenly Father, use this message tonight to speak to our hearts of how we can invest in eternity. And Lord, how we can outlive the life that we have here on this earth, and we can live with eternity in view. And Lord, we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this story we just read, we see a man who God called a fool. Now, we could give many different reasons why God called this man a fool. In fact, I have messages on this very passage talking about these things. Well, one thing was he valued his things more than he valued God. He only thought of himself. He thought of the riches that he had. He thought of the corn and the bigger barns. He thought things could satisfy his soul. He thought these things would make him happy and bring him joy in life. He only thought about himself. He only thought about that. You never hear in this story about him sharing with someone else or giving to anyone else or helping someone in their need. He only thought about himself. But I think the greatest reason, I believe, that God called this man a fool was simply because of this. Because he planned for time and not for eternity. He planned for time and not for eternity. Now, the same is true for many people today. They plan their job. They plan their education. They plan their family. They plan their vacation. They plan every aspect of their earthly life, but they fail to plan the one thing that is most important, and that is for the life hereafter. Even Christians many times are guilty of this. They get saved, and they then they live the same as if they were never even saved. They live for themselves. They live for this world. They live for the things here on this earth, and they fail to plan for eternity. They plan this life, but they fail to plan to meet Jesus Christ in glory someday. They don't send anything ahead. They do nothing to invest in the eternity. Now, the fool in this story had the same mindset as many do today. The same thoughts about life. Will I have enough to last until the end of my days or to the end of my life? He invested in this life more crops, bigger barns, more money. He thought he had enough to last to the end of life. Now, the sad thing is, he did, but he didn't realize his life would be accounted for that night. His life was over. His life had come to an end. There's a couple that came from Canada back in the 20s, 1920s, a couple by the name of Charles and Florence C., and they moved to California. Now, Charles's widowed mother, Mary, came along with them, and with her she brought a handful of treasured candy recipes. The C family opened their first candy store in Los Angeles in November of 1921. Now, they have amazing displays of chocolate and all kind of little truffles and things. How many of you have ever had any C's candy before? Some of you have. For the first time just the other day in Arizona, I saw a C's candy store. I'd never even heard of one when I heard of this story. But I saw one. And they just have amazing displays of chocolates and all kind of candies and different things. Now, over 200 of these stores dot the coastline of California. And there are many other stores, hundreds of kiosks and different things and airports and malls and whatever. And the C family sold this business, though, several years ago. Now, guess who bought it? Well, the new owner wasn't Hershey, and it wasn't Nestle. It was Warren Buffett and the Berkshire Hathaway conglomerate, of all people. Now, Buffett paid $25 million for the C's candy stores. And since then, the return for his investment has topped more than $1.35 billion. Warren Buffett said that this was one of the top investments that he ever made in his life. Well, now, with all due respect to Warren Buffett, the sweetest investments in the world don't come in assorted boxes of candies and nuts and chews or a stock portfolio, nor of a Wall Street transactions. But the greatest expenditure you'll ever make is the legacy of a well-invested life in eternity. That'll bring the greatest reward that you could ever know. If we do not take care of whatever physical financial assets God gives us, we certainly, the Bible says, or as a derelict, someone who doesn't take care of their family, we should take care of the things here on this earth that we have are responsible for and so on. But whether it's $100 or $1 million that you have, you need to learn to invest what you have and the things that you own. You need to learn to invest them into eternity. God has entrusted to each of us to manage and to steward that which He entrusts to our will. It is important for us financially to be secure for the future, that we invest in the things of God and invest in His wealth and we invest in His economy. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." And again in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23, it says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well at thy herds." Now, very few of us today are shepherds or ranchers of any type. Maybe some of you have a few cattle, or maybe you have some goats or some chickens or something like that. But what God is pointing out here is that we need to be attentive and astute over the things that God gives to us, the resources that God has entrusted to us. We need to watch out for those things, and we need to be careful to invest them properly. As much as possible, we should be weary of debt, restrain from spending, save prudently, invest wisely, and give generously. The Bible talks about investing for both time and eternity, providing a legacy that will outlive us here on this earth, and eternity, and will return, and in eternity will return that will give us a return that will never fade away in heaven. No matter how well you invest on earth, if you aren't involved in long-term investments of eternity, you're pouring all your resources into short-term ventures. Life is about investing in eternity. Someone once said, "The real measure of your wealth is how much we would be worth if we lost all of our money." Now think about that. The true measure of our wealth is how much we would be worth if we lost all our money. In other words, how much do you have waiting in eternity someday? The Lord said in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." So I want to suggest to you tonight three different ways that you can invest in eternity. Three different ways that you can invest in long-term investments that will give you a return in eternity forever and forever and forever. First of all, the first investment that we should all make in eternity is simply this. We need to invest in God's Word. Invest in God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 89 says it this way. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. First, make investments in the word of God. The fact that you should study and know God's book. The Bible ought to be real to you. The Bible ought to be something that you invest in every day of your life. Many people long for more education, but it's a pricey venture. It costs a lot of money. One of the most critical issues in our economy today is student debt. In fact, just before the service, I was watching some news, and they said something about student debt, how much student debt there is. And they're begging for the government to release or forgive all of the student debt because they're such a heavy burden for so many. Now, the cost of education has skyrocketed, and the amount of student debt for some young people is just absolutely unbearable for them. But it's not just young people. It's not even primarily young people that have student debt. Do you know the fastest growing group of college loan debtors in the nation today? It's Americans that are over the age of 60. They have the largest. They are the largest group of growing student debt. Now, it's not that the retirees have old student debt of their own and trying to pay it off. It might be true of a few. And it's not, nor even the fact that they're going back to school and they're acquiring student debt because they're going back to school. No, the reason is simple. Senior adults are borrowing money so their children and their grandchildren can afford to go to college and get an education. In all, 2.8 million Americans over the age of 60 are contending with student debt. That's terrible. Now, I don't know how to advise you if you have student debt tonight, and I can't tell you how to get rid of that. I guess maybe you should join in with the young people and start protesting for the government to relieve it, because I don't know any other way to do it except just to pay it back the honest and the old-fashioned way. But I do know this, that the greatest education that you could ever acquire is found in this book right here. And it's free. All you got to do is read it. Take some time to read it and study it and go through it. The school of the Bible is absolutely free and is the most necessary and the greatest education that you could ever have. Now, God offers free scholarships to anyone who wants to study His Word. The wisest people on earth are those who are students of the Word of God. All you need is a willingness to open its pages each day, pray for insight, and learn how to study. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher, and He will guide you into God's truth. The time you spend in God's Word is an investment in both eternal and internal wisdom. It will pay with great dividend and great reward. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, "For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So the word of God, whatever you learn, whatever you glean out of God's word, is something that will be with you for all of eternity. Something that will educate you, something that will give you knowledge, something that will give you wisdom, that will never leave you, something that will guide you in your life. You have questions about life, you can find the answers in this book right here. It'll give you an education that no college professor could ever give you. In fact, the college professors will lead you in the wrong direction, and this book will lead you in the right direction. It'll give you exactly what you need. Invest in God's Word. Matthew 24 and verse 35 says it this way, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, how do we get that education in God's Word? Well, first of all, we need to study His Word. You don't get an education from the Bible by it sitting on your coffee table during the week. You don't get education from God's Word by it sitting in your car ready for you to go to church the next Sunday. You must read it. You must study it. You must learn what it says to apply it into your life. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, a verse that we all know so well. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study the word of God. You know, there are some religions who say they are based on the Bible, but they encourage their people, their members, not to read the Bible. You know why? Because many of their traditions and many of their practices and many of their rituals are not based in God's word. And if their members read it, they'll find out the truth. But I want to tell you tonight, this church will never tell you or discourage you to keep from reading God's Word. God wants you to know His book. God wants you to know His word. He wants you to be educated in this book. The Bible is a great tool for educating you. Hey, you want to teach your children something great? Teach them the Scripture. Teach them God's word. Help them to memorize Scripture week after week and day after day. The Bible gives us eternal information from heaven for life on earth. And there's no better investment on earth than the time that you spend every day soaking in its truths. We invest a whole lot of time each day in electronic devices, social media, computer games, television, news issues, and so on. What would happen if we donated a portion of our time to the serious Bible study and the precious Word of God? It would build you into a person with essential skills needed to face these days in which we live. It would give you the answers that you need from day to day and hour to hour as you live in this world. So first of all, we must study God's Word in order to invest in that Word. Secondly, we must spread His Word. We need to make sure the Word of God goes out. It's not enough to keep it to ourselves. We must invest in ministries and other things that spread the Word of God. There's other ways that we can invest in God's Word, and it's by spreading it, giving it away. Whenever you give away a Bible or a New Testament or support someone who does, you're investing in eternity. When I do my cowboy churches, I only have those cowboy cards that I give out, and they've got Scripture on them, but I make sure there. I found online some cowboy Bibles, and it's got testimonies of different living actual cowboys in those little Bibles, and it's got the gospel in it, and it has Scripture, and I give those out. I want people to hear and to read and to study the Word of God. The Word of God is so important. Have you heard of a man by the name of Jack Murphy? Anybody here ever heard of that name before? Maybe some of you have, some of you haven't. He was a gifted young man on many different levels. He was a musician. He was an actor. He was an artist. He was a surfer. But many don't realize that he was probably one of the most notorious jewel thieves in all of American history. If I say the name of Murph the Surf, do you know that? That's who he was. Some of you still don't know who Murph the Surf was. I'm going to tell you who he was, okay? Murph the Surf was a great jewel thief. He was born in Oceanside, California, and as a teen, his family moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's not far from here, where he played violin in the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, and he also won a tennis scholarship to the University of Pittsburgh. Unknown to everyone, he was a cat burglar, and at night, he'd go out and he'd rob from people. Well, on October 29th, 1964, he pulled off one of the greatest heists in all of American history, stealing 24 precious gems from the J.P. Morgan's prize collection at the American Museum of Natural History in New York. He snuck in through the ceiling and got in unseen and got out. The stolen gems included the Star of India, the Eagle Diamond of Burma, the Eagle Diamond and the Burma DeLong Star Ruby. Quite valued at that time. Several days later, Murph the Surf, as he's well known, was arrested with his accomplices. Now, the story goes from bad to worse as he ended up killing his girlfriend and several other young ladies to cover up his crimes. Murphy was sentenced to 2 life sentences plus 20 years. He was in pretty bad shape. He was in the penitentiary down in Florida. That's where the murders occurred, was in the state of Florida. And he was in the penitentiary in Stark, Florida, several years ago. I say several years ago. This has probably been, my goodness, I'm really dating myself, aren't I? This has probably been about 40 years ago, maybe longer, 45 years ago. My dad actually preached in that prison, and Murph the Surf was there, and he got to meet him. Well, I got some good news for you. Murph the Surf got saved in prison. Some people came to visit the prison. A man by the name of Bill Glass, and somebody you should know, Roger Staubach, they came and they shared the gospel in that prison, and they gave out Bibles in that prison. Murph the Surf didn't get saved that day, but he took that Bible and he began to read it. Several weeks later, a man who's in prison ministry came and began to share with Murph the Surf about what he was reading, and he accepted Christ as Savior, and he got saved. Well, later, his story was written up in a book called God's Prison Gang. It was a book, a collection of different stories of men who had created or had committed awful crimes and who had been saved, and what their life was like now and how they were serving God. Well, through all of that, he turned over a new leaf, so to speak. No life, Christ changes life is what it was. He began to be a leader in the prison and as far as prison ministry and helping win many other prisoners to Christ. And through that, he won an appeal and a parole. He got dismissed from prison on a life parole. In other words, he would be on parole for the rest of his life. And he decided when he got out of prison that he would invest himself in the rest of his life in spreading the word of God. And so he would travel from prison to prison, and he basically would give out Bibles and give his testimony of how that God changed his life. Well, he was in a prison in the state of California, and he came across a young man, and he gave him a Bible. That young man took the testimony of Murph the Surf, Jack Murphy. He read the story in the book that was given him, but then he also began to read the Bible. He was saved. God changed his life. And when he got out of prison, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and said, "I'll serve you anywhere you want me to serve." And he became a pastor of a great winning church in the state of California. That's what an investment in God's word can do. Spreading God's word. When you give away God's word, you don't know what's going to happen. But you're investing in eternity. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, or just verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." When you invest yourself in God's word, and it begins to show in your life the changes that you need to make, then when you begin to spread God's word, it'll do the same in the lives of others. And God will always use His word to speak to lives. In fact, the Bible tells us that His word will never return void. It'll always be used to strengthen the lives of those who read it. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." That's why it's so important that we give to ministries, and we want to inspire and we want to help ministries that translate the Word of God and get it into the languages of people who do not have God's Word in Myanmar. We were talking today, but Brother Lee and Adam and I were talking, and how that in Myanmar they have several men who are involved in translating God's word into many of these unreached people groups and getting the Bible into places where they can hear God's word. The idea of spreading God's word can change the lives of those around us, and it will help you to invest in eternity. So first of all, we must invest in God's word. Secondly, to outlive our life and to invest in eternity, we must learn to invest in God's work. Invest in God's work. Now, this leads us to another step in God's strategy that lets us use our time and our abilities for His work here on this earth. Now, the work of God is eternal. We still will be serving Him even in heaven. Revelation 22:3 says it this way, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants will serve Him." All these wonderful movies you see of somebody in heaven sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp, and resting for eternity. It's a bunch of bunk. We're going to be serving God all of eternity. We're going to have things to do. We're going to have places to go, and we're going to have things to serve Him with. His enterprise will never go bankrupt, and His servants will never be laid off. We're to serve Him as best we can until our last breath, and then we'll pick up where we left off when we get to heaven, and we'll keep serving Him forever and forever in eternity. God's work will never go out of business. We're to serve Him for all of eternity. So let us begin now, right where we are, to serve Him. We have two specific ways that we can invest in God's work, all right? Here are two specific ways that you can invest in God's work. First of all, you need to develop a personal ministry. Develop a personal ministry. From God's perspective, life is defined by serving. We are at our best when we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so are we here not to serve ourselves and to be here for, we are here to serve others and to serve Christ and to live for him. Do you know how many ways there are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? There are at least 7.7 billion different ways that you can serve him, because that's the population of the world today. There are opportunities all around you. Everybody you see is an opportunity to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be to lead them to Christ, to expose them to the gospel, or whether it be to help in some financial way or to help in some physical way. There is always something you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think of the time and the abilities that we have that we can give to him. What can you do for the Lord? Well, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And so in your life, you're either investing in this world and man and who you are, or you're investing in God and his economy and his service that you give to him. Patrick Morley wrote a book about a friend by the name of Owen. Owen was a very lucrative businessman, and he had a leasing commercial real estate and so on, and was very busy down in the state of Florida, in the Orlando area. But for decades, Owen also led a Monday noon Bible study in downtown Orlando for other businessmen. And Owen has always been instrumental in helping several new churches get started and funding them and maybe giving them properties free of rental and so on to help them get started and get going. And one day, someone asked Owen, they said, why don't you just go into ministry, into full-time ministry? And Owen responded this way. He said, I am in ministry. God has called me into business. You know what? So many times we put emphasis on full-time ministry, being a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or a assistant pastor, being on staff. Listen, every one of you are in God's business. And every one of you have a place to serve him. And every one of you are important. And every one of you have something that you can give to the Lord Jesus Christ that you can do that will invest in eternity. It doesn't matter whether you drive a truck or whether you deliver groceries. It doesn't matter whether you ring up a cash register or whether you're a nurse in the hospital. It doesn't matter what you do. God can use you where you are, and you can invest in his service. God puts you there where you are because he knows your ability and he knows your talent and he wants to use you in that place. And you are just as valuable and you are just as important as any pastor that stands in the pulpit if you're in the place where God wants you and you're in God's will. Now, in telling this story of how that Owen realized he was in ministry and his ministry was business, that puts... that's about the same with about 99% of the people in this world. They're not preachers in the pulpit. They're not missionaries on the field. But they have a place they can serve. And God has put you in a place that he wants you. And you need to give your best to him. Now, God's plan for every believer is to have a personal ministry. Get involved in some way. Get involved in doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a witness for him. Being a testimony for him. Hey, if you're a cashier, be the best cashier you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that everything's done properly. If you get a smile on your face and tell people that Jesus loves them and you're glad to serve them. I mean, do your best. If you're a truck driver, we've got a truck driver in our church. His name's Richard. I love Richard. And he loves to drive his truck. And we talk a lot because we drive a lot and he drives a lot. We talk about a lot of the places we go. I heard just the other day, I didn't know this until I heard this the other day, our pastor said this, that we were having... A revival service at our church last week, and said Richard tunes it in on his iPhone on Facebook so he can live stream it while he's driving down the road, and then he takes the CB mic and he locks it open over the CB channel so they get the preaching for the whole hour. Hey, that's his service. Hey, who knows what the lives that have been touched by that? Who knows what God's doing in somebody's heart? They tune across that on the CB channel. They didn't expect to find it there, but there's some good preaching, and they hear the gospel. Hey, God has something for you that you can do. Hey, find a place where you can serve. Develop a personal ministry. Secondly, devote yourself to God's church. Be involved in ministry here. Now, while we are teaching each call to invest ourselves in personal ministry, we also should not isolate ourselves from each other, but we need to be involved in the service of the church here as well. We need to be involved in the Lord's work. The Bible tells us, for as we, as many members, are in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, Romans 12:4-5. That simply says we're all different. There's not two people in this auditorium that are exactly alike. I look at the pastor's daughters, and I look at them, they look so much alike, and I can't tell which is which, you know. But you know what? Each one of them, I guarantee you, they have a different personality. Why? God gave them that because one day I think he's going to use them in that way if he tarries. And God gave you something different. You're different than your mom and dad. You're different than your brother and sister. You're different than your brothers and sisters in Christ. And God gave you what you have so you can serve him. And God has given this church everything it needs right here tonight. All we need to do is be willing to give what we have and do our service for him. When Christ returned to heaven, he left behind one and only one great organism, and that was the church to continue his work. His church is what he has ordained that should carry out the Great Commission throughout the world. Now, every Christian ought to be involved in the Great Commission, but we do that through our local church. His church is eternal, and it isn't made of bricks and mortar, but of human beings, just like you and me. Living stones, we're called in the Scriptures. We are his family, and he has made us part of his business, and we are to be about his business, doing the work that he's called us to do. First of all, we need to invest in God's Word. Secondly, we need to invest in God's work. And then third tonight, we need to learn to invest in God's wealth. We need to invest in God's wealth. Having invested in God's Word and also in God's work, we have to make sure we are investing in God's wealth, in the riches, the endless and lavish future he has laid up for us in heaven. You see, what the Bible teaches is that we're building, you could say it this way, our own mansion. We're putting aside our own crowns. The Bible says some are made of wood, hay, and stubble, and some are made of precious jewels and gold and silver. And what you send ahead, what you do on this earth, is you're sending ahead the building materials for what you'll have in heaven someday. We are only on this earth for a few brief decades, but heaven is our eternal destination. Therefore, we need to make sure we are paying ahead and investing our lives in things eternal. All of us who are in Christ have a great surprise ahead of us. No matter how much we visualize and anticipated heaven, it will exceed our expected expectations by billions of miles and billions of years. Sometimes I read the last two chapters of the Bible and I try to imagine the new heaven and the new earth and what they'll look like. And I try to envision the city of the New Jerusalem and its gold and its glory and its glitter. And if you think about it tonight, the best images you can think of and the most glorious and the most fantastic thing you can think of tonight, it's far greater than that. It's far beyond any imagination that we have. Heaven is a glorious place. It's a wonderful place. And we look forward to that someday. But what are you investing in that? What are you sending ahead? Meditation on the things above gives us tremendous comfort. But what a joy to actually see for ourselves and be heirs of its riches one day as we stand in heaven. The Bible says we can invest in heaven's real estate, as it were. One way we do that is by investing our money in the ongoing progress of the kingdom of God. By giving to missions, by giving to ministries, by giving to God's people so they can do the work. That's one way that we invest. The Bible's primary passage about this is in the Sermon on the Mount, there in Matthew chapter 6, which we read earlier. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. But it's there for all of eternity. That's where the Bible says our heart should be and where our treasure should be. In the simplest terms, Jesus said the two ways we invest are in earthly treasures and in heavenly treasures. It's one or the other. You're either investing in something earthly and temporal, or you're investing in something heavenly and eternal. It's your choice. It's either or. There's nothing in the middle. There's no in between. It's either earthly or it's heavenly. Earthly treasures are subject to ruin. When moths get in them, they're subject to rust when they corrode, and they're subject to robbers who break through and steal them. But the eternal treasures, or when you invest in eternal things, we get things that we can keep, and they'll appreciate for all of eternity. You can never give up to Him and not receive a hundredfold in return, and that's His promise. That's what He gave you. When you invest in His economy, it's the greatest return that you'll ever receive. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible tells us this, and it gives us this. God gives back, but He has so much better ways of giving. I want you to see in that verse 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be and given to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I started thinking about that, and I wondered how in the world I could illustrate that. How many have ever gone to the grocery store and you bought a box of something and it says on there how many ounces are in there, and you shake it and you can see there's product in there, and then you look down on the very bottom, it says, due to shipping, some settling may have occurred. And you open it up and it's only like half full, you know? There's not much in there. Well, here's what God says. When you invest in Him and you go to get what He has for you and you pull it down and you shake it, it doesn't even hardly rattle because it's so full. And you open it up and it just starts flowing out. I mean, over, and you can't even contain it all. It just keeps coming out and coming out. There's more in there that it can even handle, and more in your life than you can have. The blessings just keep overflowing and keep coming back. It's running over, and it's pressed, it's shaken down. They shake it down, push it down, but it just keeps coming back up. You press it together, but it keeps coming out and keep coming more and more. That's what God wants to do in your life. And that's what God wants to give you for eternity. Now today, it's hard to imagine a safe place to deposit our money and to invest in this world. But when we are faithfully tithing and we devote ourselves to the resources of God's kingdom and we give through our faith promise, then we understand that the gospel will go forward and go to places that it's never gone. And those rewards we'll see again in heaven in eternity. Souls are being saved and heaven is populated. When we support God's work, our funds are transmuted into literature, lives, and ministries, and missions. You may never see the returns until you get to heaven. But what a joy it will be to run into the folks in glory one day. And as you walk down the golden streets, and they come to you and they say, as the song says, "Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. Because of what you did, because of what you gave, my life was changed, and I'm now here in heaven." But not only that, you'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and rewards will be given because of what you gave and because of what you did. Our lives are numbered. Our days are numbered, and they're moving quickly from day to tomorrow. All our pleasures and possessions are temporary, but the legacy we leave for Christ will endure forever. It's been said many times in many ways, but never better than these words that were simply written. And it says, "This one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." How true that is. What are you investing in tonight? Are you investing in this world? Now, certainly we ought to plan for our family, for our future. We ought to make sure they have what they need. God teaches that. But at the same time, are you investing in the future, in eternity, and what God has prepared for you for all of eternity? This life is only a few decades. This life is for eternity. What are you investing in tonight? Our labor and love for the Lord Jesus Christ is never in vain. Let's not waste a single day. Let's live with eternity in mind. Let's invest in tomorrow and outlive our lives. And invest in the things which God has put before us. Invest in His Word. Invest in His work. and invest in His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that You'll move in the hearts of lives of those that are here. I pray this invitation time that we'll take